In the old covenant, there was no personal relationship with God. There were commandments. You hear it and obey it. And people in the old covenant also had a conscience. But what convicted them was if they disobeyed a commandment. Oh, God said, I shouldn't commit adultery, or I shouldn't bear false witness, or, oh, I'm sorry, I made that idol. Different commandments, and there were many other, as you know, there were 613 commandments, many, many commandments, and they were very careful. If they did something wrong, their conscience disturbed them. But when Jesus came, and the Holy Spirit came, it changed. And I don't know whether it has changed for most of us here. It's possible that for many of you, you're still living in, oh, I violated that commandment. Oh, I'm sorry, I lusted after that woman. Oh, that was a bad attitude I had towards that person. And my conscience is disturbed. Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm not saying that's bad, but there's a taste of old covenant in that, because it's sin. This particular commandment, I shouldn't have a bad attitude towards that person. That's wrong. Maybe I have, like those 613 commandments, I've got a list of my own commandments which I've heard in the church. Oh, I feel that was a bit unrighteous in money matters there. I'm sorry, Lord. Think of the sins that you have confessed because your conscience convicted you, say in the last 1 month. Isn't it things like I just told you? There could be many things like that. It's individual items. Whereas God's purpose in the new covenant is that we come into a relationship with Jesus, so that our conscience should convict us, Lord, I lost my love for you right now. I don't seem to love you right now as I should. That sense of your presence there with me is gone. Even if I'm not committing any particular sin, I'm not lusting after any woman, I don't have a wrong attitude towards anybody, I'm not doing anything unrighteous, but Lord, that sense of your presence with me is gone. Does that convict you? Then you know you're moving out of the old covenant into the new covenant. So I'm not saying that to condemn any of you, my brothers and sisters. In this church, there is no condemnation. We never speak to condemn people. We speak to lead people to conviction, to lead them to something higher. Condemnation always brings you down. Conviction will bring you higher. So take it like that. And I'll give you an example of it. See, let me begin first of all with 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, it says, all things are lawful, but all things are not profitable. So that is the difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian. One difference. The carnal Christian lives at the level where I'll never do anything wrong. That's wrong. I won't do it. That's unlawful. But we can rise above that and say, well, I'll only do what is lawful. You can still be a carnal Christian. But the spiritual Christian says, well, out of 100 things that are lawful for me to do, only 10 are profitable. So I'm going to leave out the other 90 things, even though the other 90 things are perfectly right. My conscience will not convict me if I do any of those 90 things. But I still don't do them because they are not profitable. That is the truly spiritual Christian. Anyway, one part of being truly spiritual is you choose what is profitable. In everything, it's not just that I did something, I avoid something wrong with money matters, but take the matter of money. To do something wrong with money, to cheat or to tell a lie or and to take advantage of someone financially, that's wrong. I won't do that. But even if I'm doing what's right, the way to spend my money is, Lord, is this the way you want me to spend my money? Is this thing really going to be, there's nothing wrong in my spending my money on this, but is it really profitable? Or is it just something that I'm going to get nothing out of it, really? There are very few people who live at that level, but those are the ones who really progress and who make, whose life counts for God in this earth. And the other thing he says here, all these things are lawful, but they don't edify, they don't build me up. So the spiritual person is always thinking of, is this going to build me up? Not, is it lawful? For example, many of us go to the internet. There's nothing wrong in that. There's a lot of good things we can get out of it. There are a lot of bad things. And I can say, I avoid all the bad things. I never go to pornography on the internet. I never go to a lot of things that are evil and bad. Okay. But there are other things on the internet which are not profitable. They're not evil. They're not pornography. They're not dirty. But they're not profitable. They're not edifying. I'm not saying you should never look up the news or see what's happening in the world. I think we should know what's happening in the world. Jesus knew when the Tower of Siloam fell. He also knew how many people were killed there. Jesus knew about what's happening around him, and we should know too. But we shouldn't get so taken up with these things that we don't have time for what is edifying and profitable. And one way you could ask yourself is, do you meditate more on the news or in the Bible? Do you watch television more than you meditate on Scripture? It may be clean programs. All things are lawful. But a New Covenant Christian lives at, is it profitable? Is it building up? Is it going to build me up? Now, some of you may never take seriously what I say, but you will see the result in your life 5 years from now. And there are others who take seriously what I say, and they will see a result 5 years from now, and there'll be a world of difference between these two believers. Even though they're sitting here listening to, they haven't committed gross sin. They have a good testimony. There's a tremendous difference. Take another passage, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, 12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Again, similar words. But he says another thing here. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by something. Food, for example, has a tremendous power to master us. Or the internet has a power to master us. Different things, you know. It could be sport. I can be so crazy after cricket or something like that, it masters me. There's nothing wrong in watching a cricket match on TV, no. The question is, has it mastered you? Has your craze for some type of food mastered you so much that you complain if the food is not good enough at home or you can't live without that? There's something wrong with that. I must not be mastered by anything. That's a spiritual person. That's how Jesus lived, you know. So ultimately, I want to turn to Song of Solomon and show you how this all works. It's not by these laws, okay, I got a new law now that I'm going to live by what's profitable and I'm going to live by what is edifying and I will not allow anything to master me. That can also be a commandment. And you can make a list of, is that the things that master me, okay, I eliminate that. And again, it can be a bit of the old covenant way that I avoid certain things and I do these other things and I discipline myself, all of which is excellent. But true spirituality, I want to tell you, remember what we heard about the Lord's complaint against the church in Ephesus, was not, or the leader of the church in Ephesus was not, you're not choosing what is profitable. He says, you lost your love for me. The only crime that elder committed was he lost that fervent love for Jesus Christ that he had once upon a time. There was a time, maybe a few months or for a few months or a year or so after he got converted, where he really was fervently in love for the Lord. He didn't know many commandments. He didn't know many rules. He didn't know so many things. But his love for Jesus kept him from so many wrong things. His love for Jesus kept him doing what is profitable. Not because he made a list of what is profitable. His love for Jesus kept him doing what's profitable. His love for Jesus kept him from being mastered by food or mastered by anything, because his love for Jesus drew him away from all these other things. It's like, you know, when a girl is madly in love with some boy, she doesn't have time for other things because she's always wanting to be with him. She's kept away from so many things because of her love for him. That is true spirituality. So in Song of Solomon, you read of a time when, you know, this is a picture of Christ and his bride. So you got to read it. You can, if you're a centrally minded person, you read it in a central way. But if you try to understand this in a spiritual way, there's a lot of spiritual profit in it. And you read it thinking of you and Jesus, your bridegroom. I tell you, it's a wonderful book if you can concentrate on that and say, this is me and Jesus, my bridegroom. And you read in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, on my bed at night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. She wasn't trying to discern what is profitable, what is not profitable, what is edifying, what's not edifying, because some new commandment you heard on Sunday that is a new level we must live with. No, it automatically would come if I start here. I sought for him. Not a doctrine or a teaching or what should I avoid and what should I do, but I sought for him. And I wish I could draw all of you, my brothers and sisters, to him. True Christianity is a personal devotion to Jesus Christ. From that flows everything.